1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual.
I'm Christopher Cruz at the Washington Bureau. Memphis police say they've disbanded a 14-month-old unit that targeted high-crime areas of the city. Five of its members were fired a week ago and charged with second-degree murder in the death of Tyree Nichols. But for some, the department's decision doesn't go far enough. Amber Sherman helped organize protests in Memphis.
They moved in the right direction by permanently deactivating the Scorpion unit, but the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they need to all be disbanded as well. The same task force who are doing that same terrorism, assaulting people, over-criminalizing poor and low-income neighborhoods, mostly where black people live.
California has the strictest gun laws in the country, but that's not been enough to stop mass killings in the state. Three in the last week left more than 20 people dead. Ruth Borenstein is the legislative chair of the Brady California Gun Control Group.
We're one state among many. We can't do it alone. And if somebody can just cross the border and bring back a whole host of things that aren't legal here, we can't stop it.
A gathering in San Francisco yesterday commemorated the beginning of the Stop Asian Hate movement. More from KPIX reporter Kelsey Thorin.
Family, friends, and supporters gathered around the mural of Vicha Ratanapakti to honor his legacy. Ratanapakti died in 2021 after he was pushed to the ground by an apparent stranger. 2 years later, many in the community say the violence persists.
Asians continue to be victims.
The Ratanapakti family shared their stage with several other victims and families impacted by similar crimes. They discussed the recent shootings in Half Moon Bay and Monterey Park and called on local agencies and communities to do more to prevent such violence.
Israel's security cabinet has announced new measures in response to deadly attacks on Israelis by Palestinians in the past few days. Gideon Levy is a columnist for the Haaretz newspaper who doesn't think the proposals will change anything.
It's again about deporting families of so-called terrorists. They speak now about arming the civilian population, which is a very, very dangerous step. We know what's going on in the United States.
CBS's Jim Krasula says there's growing concern within the medical profession about the choices medical students are making.
Primary care physician Tom Bledsoe is president of the Rhode Island Medical Society.
In the practice of medicine, primary care is competing with other specialties.
Bledsoe says many primary care doctors are nearing retirement age, and most medical students now choose specialties over primary care.
Donald Trump appeared Saturday in New Hampshire in South Carolina, two early voting states on the presidential primary calendar. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies today with highs around 12. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 below. Tonight, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 2 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures below average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the low teens to the upper teens. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 7 above.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Really simple application, but then at the bottom it's going to say, it's required, so you have to put something.
Oh, cool.
You do have to put something, so why not put As Goes Wisconsin?
Even though... Ryan Kelly, who's coming up next on Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, did mention yesterday that his life was potentially in harm's way.
I know. And I love Brian, and I'll miss Brian, but...
We will miss Brian.
We'll miss Brian. We'll miss our Russian mafia.
Oh, he's the best.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Friday, TGIFMFers. I'm so happy that the weekend is here.
I think we're all happy the weekend is here.
But speaking of that, I'm glad to report, Brian did not win. But he is alive.
Brian Kelly is still alive. We know that for certain. We heard from him this morning.
We did hear from him this morning.
Yes.
But in fact, we also heard this morning that indeed, not a lot of fanfare, but in the, you know, maybe some a little more official numbers to be rolled out later in today or next week. But thank you to everyone who took our advice, took advantage of the $1 million ad giveaway, and listed Jane and Kristen, because apparently we won. But it was never actually a competition,
No, of course not.
No.
Just a friendly in-housey kind of thing. But yes, thank you so very much.
Yes, absolutely. And so we are now, for anyone who did take advantage, now the processing begins and the salespeople start figuring out who's where and which region and
what's the best messaging for you
exactly.
And all that stuff. It's really exciting.
So more to come. And I have to say, you know, as much as I love our promos, I'm excited to get some new things on rotation during the ad breaks.
Definitely.
You know, it's nice to spice it up. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing all of the new small businesses, Wisconsin businesses that we're going to get on air because, you know, things get redundant.
A little bit.
All right. Well, we have a fun Friday show.
Busy show.
I'm very excited because on Wednesday we discussed a certain Brookfield alderman who did not mince words as far as what he feels about affordable housing and apparently how he feels about Wauwatosa and West Allis. So
yes.
Here to expound on his very gracious response to that story, coming in at 1:30 today in the final hour, is none other than the mayor of West Allis, Mr. Dan Devine.
He's
going to
be here. Yeah, I'm so excited. He's going to talk about all the great things that are going on in West Allis, because there really are lots of great things going on. I found a song just for him.
Oh, do you think he'll have as much of an emotional reaction as Mayor Katie Rosenberg did?
No, because this one's really bad.
So that's coming up at 1:30. I'm very excited. He is a lovely, lovely person. And then prior to that, during the noon hour, we are going to talk to Shannon Ross, who's been on the show before, but he is the founder of The Community, which is an organization that works both with current incarcerated people and helping them plan their life for when they're going to be get out, but also redefining the narrative as far as people who have been released after serving their time. And because they're, as of January 19th, there's a new art exhibit in downtown Milwaukee that's all art from either formerly incarcerated or currently incarcerated people. And I was reading the article from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's how I found out about it. So I was like, Shannon, come back on and let's talk about this because it sounds great. Because the art gallery and the person who curated all of it, like the way they talk about it, like this is not like a charity. Like the art is incredible. And so I've seen some of the paintings and the work that's done is like, and like they also went into how people teach themselves to do art and how a lot of them like learn from Bob Ross, which I think is amazing.
That is priceless.
And so I'm very excited to talk about that with Shannon in the next hour. But to kick off this hour, you know, this was news that broke yesterday. And I think some of our other colleagues on different shows spent a fair amount of time talking about it.
They did.
And I have less concern. Well, let's just talk about what it is. So yesterday, Daniel Bice, who is, you know, in crude terms, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's own TMZ reporter to a certain extent. This is the guy who, you know, this is the guy who writes the dirt, right? The stories that get leaked on both sides, you know, and both sides hate him, but both sides also, he's the person that they leak stuff to because he's going to be the guy that writes the story that seems that also ultimately always begs the question, is this fair? Is this inbounds for these political candidates? You know, there was stuff. He wrote a lot about Mandela Barnes. He's written about every candidate, basically. And so earlier, he was also the same reporter who broke the Everett Mitchell story, which I don't even know if we spent that much. Well, we did spend. We did talk about it
because yeah,
it was the same thing of, you know, is this inbounds? Because the Everett Mitchell story, who was one of the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And a Democrat.
On the liberal side.
Liberal side.
And there was a story about him as far as him and his ex-wife during a really ugly divorce and custody battle. His ex had accused him of sexual assault. No charge was ever brought. No crime was, you know, there was no...
No charges.
And so, you know, it was, and like they're on good enough terms now. It was 10 years ago, maybe even more. But Bice wrote the story. And it adds complications because of Everett Mitchell is a black man and a candidate. And what does that do for what the fodder becomes once if he were to make it through the primary to the general? So there was that story. And now Jennifer Doro, who is a candidate who is more conservative and has pretty big name recognition because she was the judge in the Waukesha parade. Her son potentially,
allegedly
is implicated in a fentanyl overdose at UWM.
A fatal
fentanyl overdose. And so the story that Bice wrote is largely on the point of view of the father of the young man who died and the suspicion and kind of hearsay of friends that his son had gotten these pills from Jennifer Doro's son. And the story kind of goes on that he tried to talk to her at she was there for a like political event. They started talking and I guess were having a fine conversation until he told her who he is, at which point she left the restaurant entirely. And I think, you know, I think there's to a certain extent there's this has been a 15-month investigation. Her son has not been charged.
Right.
And, you know, I think it brings up the question again of what's in bounds when it comes to candidates, not just for Supreme Court. But we talked about this when, you know, Rebecca Clayfish kind of went on record saying she's trying to recruit more women to run. But of course, they don't want to run because they see what happens to their families. And my point was, how they treated your family or how they treated you. but that's a separate case. But I think, you know, because obviously Wisconsin Right Now, which is a very right-wing publication, they immediately wrote something yesterday saying Dan Bice's reckless and unfair attack on Jennifer Doro's son and outline how this is unethical and everything that he wrote. They did not, I will say, write this when Dan Bice wrote anything about Everett Mitchell.
No kidding.
And, you know, I think it is. It's like, are your kids in bounds when you run for a candidacy? And the only reason why in this situation without having more information is like, is there backdoor dealings of why he had, if there is actually evidence of him being involved? I don't know. Like, I just don't know the line that you cross with these things. It's obviously a more salacious story as far as, is there more there that his parents are protecting him and that the range of outcomes for drug dealers in this country are very wide. And, you know, if he actually is someone who is dealing deadly drugs, that there has been no, even if it's not so much a tie to this person's death, but as far as just in general and figuring out, is this person dealing drugs? And so, I don't know, you know, I thought it was, it brings up kind of the question of like, what is in bounds as far as you get to know candidates in a race that's already weird, right? This is a weird scenario that we're in as far as the most important race that will absolutely be influential in the outcome of our democracy, the 2024 election, if we get new maps, where the abortion criminal ban goes, like, this is the deciding vote for so many things.
Yes.
Of the direction of which Wisconsin will go, and potentially the country will go, because Wisconsin's swing stateness is very important nationally. And so I obviously so much is on the line, and it's just, I don't know. Are kids in bounds? Are your kids in bounds?
But he's 19.
Yeah.
He's not a kid. He is legally an adult. I think if they're under 18, I don't think they're fair game. But if they're adults, and yeah.
But what about the thing, like, when they're in the same way, because it's two, what I find similar about this and the Everett Mitchell story is in both cases, there was no charges. And so, I mean, and to his credit, this is for Tobias's credit, he wrote both stories, right? There wasn't one where he wrote it and one where he didn't write it, because using some argument of them, there being charges or not being charges.
Right.
In both cases, there were not charges, but you put this out into the world and obviously people are going to run with it and use it one way or another. And the other thing, I actually heard this, I think I heard this on Devils yesterday, which is a good point of, this probably came from the Kelly campaign.
I've heard that too. That's a really interesting, really interesting theory.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you save this for the general to see who makes it through?
If you were the Democrats.
If you were on the liberal backing Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell or both, would you save this and for closer to the election when it will be more top of mind for people versus now? And I don't know. I'm interested as far as if it sticks at all. And this sways people's opinions, because it feels like there wasn't necessarily a lot that implicated her or her husband as far as wrongdoing in, like, messing with the investigation. But it's just another kind of thing that's out there.
It could also elicit sympathy. There are other parents, I'm sure, who are struggling with their kids who have drug problems or are dealing drugs or all of that.
That's true. Well, there's another Jennifer Doro story that I did not see in any Wisconsin outlets, but in a national one about a... I think I missed my opportunity to get married at a gun range, is all I'm going to say. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, President, I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge. I am the judge.
Everybody...
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We are very excited for the weekend. You are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Now, you know, I'm used to getting our Wisconsin news from our Wisconsin outlets, but then every once in a while, and especially, I think it's going to happen a lot and already is happening a lot in regards to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
We're not the only ones who are watching this.
No, New York Times, I think this week had a big article about, you know, the most important race that you didn't know about. I think Politico had a similar article a week or so ago. But this is from Jezebel, and I was so surprised as I was going through my different kind of places that I collect news.
Sure.
Usually Jezebel is good for a funny feminist slant on different stories. And, you know, it's different than the Journal Sentinel. But
no doubt about that.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate is trying to open a gun range that serves alcohol.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Conservative Judge Jennifer Doro and her husband Brian are trying to rebrand a gun range linked to an incident in which a bullet grazed a pregnant woman.
Okay.
So it's exactly what it sounds like. So basically, according to local news, Jennifer Doro, Waukesha County Judge, and her husband are developing a indoor gun range that is also an event space. So it could host weddings and other events and would also serve alcohol. Which I feel like isn't part of the concealed carry or whenever you have your gun on you, you can't have any alcohol in your system.
I will check. I'm not sure about that.
I thought that was the deal, but the couple requested a Class B liquor license to sell beer and wine to members and guests of the clubhouse. And the range also will sell firearms and it's a shooting range. And so they devised an alcohol safety policy consisting of hand stamps to prevent members from entering the shooting range after drinking and a breathalyzer to be used on suspicious individuals. So at least in the plan, there is a safeguard between if you've taken a drink and you can no longer go back and shoot your gun. But this was Heartland Sportsman's Club. Heartland Sportsman's Club. Okay. And they're renaming it.
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and, yes. Well, we know what the name of today's episode is going to be.
It's free. Take it. Go ahead.
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and Booze. It's yours.
So it's now called Delafield Oaks Range. And when it was still, I think when it was still Heartland Sportsman's Club, that gun club had a series of legal battles over the last decade after the city revoked the club's permit in 2010 when a bullet grazed a pregnant woman who was dining on the outdoor patio at the Delafield Brew House about a quarter mile away.
I thought this was an indoor range.
I don't know. Maybe the new one is an indoor range?
Okay, that must be.
But
and by the way, a Wisconsin concealed carry says under the concealed carry license, patrons can only carry a concealed weapon if they have a concealed carry license and maintain absolute sobriety.
So, I mean, from a business point of view, I get it. Because alcohol sales, like nothing has higher margins than alcohol sales. And so if it's going to be both an event space and a gun range, you know, you want to get that liquor money. But it seems like it's a slippery slope of, you know, because I feel like at these club scenarios, you know, a little like, come on, man, like a little.
You'll let me go back.
Yeah,
I only had a couple.
I only had one.
Exactly.
And especially if it's kind of like a members only type club in the old boys club.
Well,
I feel like as someone who works in the legal system, I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I want to hear it. What about freedom?
Well, also, because her husband worked for Homeland Security under Trump, right?
So I think so, yeah.
To each their own. I'm kind of making fun of guns, but it's not really. Like, I get it. If you like guns, it's more of the very thin line that a place serving alcohol and allowing people to shoot guns feels like. I feel like you'd want to keep those two things separate.
I don't know. It'll be the perfect venue for shotgun weddings.
Oh, ba-da-ba. Jane got extra sleep last night, I think.
I think it's the caffeine.
You're pretty witty this morning. So, you know, again, maybe nothing there, but just a little bit more information as we... I feel like I know the most about Jennifer Doro so far. We do know that it was separately confirmed. I asked someone recently who is much closer to the Republican conservative side of Wisconsin. I don't have a lot of those people in my life, but some.
Sure.
And I asked him, I said, does Dan Kelly really wear a cape? And he started laughing so hard. And then he came back and said, only sometimes.
He wears a cape?
Apparently. I feel like Brian and Luke have talked about this before, but apparently that is like for special occasions. Instead of like a pea coat, he has a special cape.
I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I am pro-cape.
Are you pro-cape?
Oh, definitely. When Trump announced Space Force, it's like, how can you have Space Force without capes?
That's true.
I think everyone should have a cape.
What about the cape? Is it the
It's
fashion?
The swishing. It's the swish, the whoosh factor.
And is it the like the draping nature of it and like the tucking in of your arms?
And the swoosh.
And the swoosh.
And the you can take the edges of your cape and swoosh things.
All right. Well, As a weekly, if not daily reminder, make sure you're registered to vote. The primary is February 21st. Also be paying attention to any of the school board races. If there's additional primaries for any of the local and county races in your area, you should be able to check your ballot on myvote.wi.gov. That should be up there already when you type in your address. You can also check your registration there, but make a plan to vote for February 21st. And then again for the general on April 4th, when we come back. You know, they want to make it harder for people to get any kind of public assistance, and yet then there's stories that highlight how hard it already is. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies today with highs around 12. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 below. Tonight, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 2 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures below average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the low teens to the upper teens. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 7 above.
To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening, thank you for tuning in. on this Friday, a reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, today, any day, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Good find on that song. Who sings that?
Etta James.
Ooh.
Oh, she's classic.
Great.
Yeah.
So last week we spent some time talking about something that's going to be on your April ballot. As far as shall childless, able-bodied adults who are currently receiving public assistance have to be looking for a job in order to continue to get public assistance.
Which they kind of already have to
do. They said welfare. Which welfare is an umbrella term for multiple different programs that all have different qualifying criteria. But yes, in most situations, that number of who those people that actually applies to, because a lot of the programs you have to be a parent. A lot of the programs are for elderly or disabled people. For unemployment, you have to be looking for work in order to receive it. So it basically kind of just looks at like unemployed people who are childless and don't have a job and are able-bodied. They're on Badger Care.
Well, and aren't these senior citizens?
That's also a good point. I mean, I don't know how many different checkboxes, because I tried to find this out. Like, I was talking to a legislative analyst trying to be like, how do you find what this number is? And it's too many different boxes to be looking at. But part of the problem, when you add in so many hoops for people who are in need to jump through,
right,
it also delays what they need. And, you know, this was such bigger news during the pandemic when it was unemployment insurance and people who flooded the systems because a lot of people were unemployed in 2020. And
the system just couldn't handle it.
The system couldn't handle it. The protocols within the Department of Workforce or like who was supposed to be handing these out is set up in a way that like tries to make it hard. And now a similar thing is happening or has been happening with disability. So more than 2,000 people in Milwaukee are waiting for the Social Security Administration's approval to receive disability benefits. In Madison, more than 1,000 people are waiting. So in Milwaukee, the average wait time is 368 days.
What?
So over a year. And if you are disabled, likely you are not, it's not like you can, you're necessarily working. And in Madison's, it's not much better. It's 310 days of how long people are waiting to finally get their benefits that they pay into, right?
Right.
And it takes an average of 227 days statewide, which is up 90 days from where it was in 2019.
Wow.
And 3 months is a long time when you need that money.
Well, what if you need rent? What if you need rent? Where are you going to go for a year?
Well, and apparently, I mean, this is a story from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Corey Hess, and in part of their public investigator series. And I mean, it's just the stories that these are the stories that if you saw it on a crowdfunding page, you'd probably donate it to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the story starts with her, with Corey highlighting a hospital social worker named Nicholas Johnson fill out dozens of pages of paperwork for Social Security disability insurance in September after he woke up from a coma and realized he was paralyzed. Johnson, 24 years old, was one of the 877 people shot in Milwaukee in 2022. He was in an argument with the mother of his daughter when the woman's boyfriend allegedly shot him 4 times. One of the bullets went through Johnson's left arm, into his chest, and hit his spinal cord. He can no longer walk or work at his job at Subway or as a part-time clothing designer. Johnson missed 2 phone calls from the Social Security office while he was in physical therapy. He started the application over for a 3rd time in early January. With no income, Johnson can't pay rent, so he moved in with his grandmother, but her home is too small to accommodate his wheelchair, so family members come over daily to carry him from room to room.
Oh my goodness.
And this is just one story,
right?
And, you know, like so many things, the pandemic was kind of the point of which the gridlock increased and makes it as bad as it is. Partially, it's because people have, it's workforce shortage as far as who's there to even process these claims. But it's also the fact that we make it really hard. We make it really, really hard because about 80% of the claims are denied during the first review, and closer to 90% get denied on the second review before the case goes to a hearing, which is where it's most likely has the highest chance of being approved at the hearing. So, like, you are getting delayed and delayed because we're all paying into this. There's a bunch of criteria you have to fulfill to actually get it, which I get, because you don't want people taking advantage of the system.
Well, I was just going to say, wouldn't it have been nice if people who applied for PPP loans had the same scrutiny?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been buying Maseratis and stuff.
Although, you know, I was listening to a podcast talking about that, and people from that department are very defensive about that.
About the PPPs?
Well, the department that moved as quickly as they did to...
Get the money out.
And it's kind of hindsight, it's always 2020. But as far as having less barrier to entry for that, to just get people help in that case, they stand by their decision to do that, even though Tom Brady and who else got the Kardashians
a
got
bunch
a bunch of
people
of, yeah.
got a whole bunch of money. That's baloney. Like I volunteer to be the baggage checker to make sure that your bag will fit in your carry-on. I volunteer to go through these applications.
Okay.
Happily.
But this is what is required to qualify for Social Security disability insurance. So they have to prove that they are insured, meaning they've worked long enough and paid Social Security taxes. They then must prove they have a medical condition that meets the government's strict definition of disability.
Okay.
They must also go through a 5-step evaluation that includes proving they haven't been able to work for a year and that they are unable to go back to any of the jobs they have held in the last 15 years. And then a person's earnings, in whatever way they are getting earnings, has to be less than $1,470 a month. So they have to be making less than $17,640 a year in order to be considered to qualify for disability. And they're not allowed to have more than $2,000 in your savings account. So, like, they want to keep you poor. And this is one of the better quotes from the article, and said, they don't want you to have money. They don't want you to save money. They just want you to exist. The system was designed to help people get out of institutions and into the community. But right now, it's not benefiting anyone. It's encouraging people not to work because they're scared to lose their benefits.
Wow.
Which is the same thing with Badger Care. Of the cliff, and because there's no gradation of, all right, so you're making a little bit more money, you get a little less benefits, but you get some. It's this cliff of
all or nothing.
You make $100 more than what the threshold is. Your life's not really improving, but now all of a sudden you've lost all these benefits. And like that makes anyone who's ever worked in anything that requires an incentive structure, like sales, this is an awful incentive structure to get people like working again,
yeah,
and like and choosing to improve their life, by making it this hard and not having the help be available, but then also not have it fall off this cliff once you start to improve your situation.
And I think too, this story in the Journal Sentinel is a really important reminder when you hear news stories about shootings and. You know, they say a non-fatal gunshot wound.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that their life isn't completely altered for the rest of their life.
I thought about that similarly of, yeah, I mean, I guess it was. It was with gunshots. And in the mass shootings that we have so often, and we talk about, like, the death counts, I feel like that always gets higher attention than the injured.
Yes.
Because the injured, like when they just reference injury, you'd have no idea the severity of the injury. It's just kind of like,
it's a blanket.
And how much your just entire life is altered. It can be because of something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's a really great article as far as having a little bit more understanding of what's going on with people who need help. And if we're all, what I can tell, qualify for this, and yet we've just made it so hard for them to do it. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to navigate a government website?
No.
Like, I'm a pretty tech savvy. I'm a tech savvy person, pretty smart. I don't have a lot of patience, or my attention span's not that long. So those things, like the couple times I've ever had to look into doing that, is like, the amount of time I just give up because I'm like, this is too complicated. Let alone someone who, like, maybe didn't finish high school trying to fill that stuff out. Like, the complication is the point, it seems like.
Well, and you have a laptop and you have Wi-Fi in your own home.
Yes.
And again, this is the assumption that all of us have that, and not all of us have that.
Yeah. Well, for some good news, the economy. We keep hearing about this looming recession. And how's it going? In the words of Larry David, apparently.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Apparently, it's pretty good. Yesterday, the government reported that the U.S. GDP grew by 2.9% in Q4, which topped expectations. And it also means that despite inflation and a looming recession and tech and all these layoffs, that apparently people are still spending.
We're still buying stuff.
People are still buying stuff. And so it's not only, we've not only regained all of the lost output from COVID, but we've also returned to the growth trajectory that we had before the pandemic. So, like,
and don't forget, we lost a million people.
I know.
We lost a million people. Granted, not all of them were in the workforce. Many of them were elderly, but still.
I know. And so it's just, this is where it's, I just don't understand. Like, how is this, the rhetoric that gets spouted on the news and media versus what's actually happening, because I feel like there's always conflicting messaging on, so how are we actually doing, and what measurements are we actually supposed to be looking at? But apparently, I mean, this could be a sign of the actual soft landing that the Fed was trying to do.
By raising rates.
Raising rates. And so, you know, raising the rates was hopefully going to knock down inflation. And so far, so good. And it's a resilient labor force. But like, the economists who are combing through the GDP report did find a few warning signs that indicate a recession. So consumers are pulling back. I guess personal consumption came in below forecast, but we are still spending. The housing market has plummeted. It shrank as 27%, which is, as someone who just bought a house and is currently, I'll talk about that later today, is currently dealing with our first homeowner dilemma as of yesterday.
It's wonderful owning a home.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But and then also companies are slowing down their spending. But so far, pretty good. And so we'll take it from there. But when we come back, TikTok's not going down without a fight. So we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false. The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
I'm gonna dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic that we should cover or a guest we should have on, shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Is that Iggy Azalea?
Yes, it is.
Is that new? I feel like she had a hot moment and then we...
The moment is over.
The moment is over. But speaking of viral... You know, as of this week, I think it was because we talked about either was it this week or last week that we were talking about UT Austin, along with a couple other universities have said no more TikTok.
Right.
University of Wisconsin system bans TikTok on use of system devices. That was this week as well. So, you know, the fight, this is real, but TikTok is not going down without a fight because they obviously know how much money there is. I mean, there's over 100 million monthly users in the U.S. alone.
So explain to me how they make money. Is it
ads?
Ads that pop up as you're looking mm-hmm. at?
Just like any other social media.
Okay.
I mean, basically, you have to remember anything that's ever free, you are the product.
Without a doubt.
Your eyeballs, your... I mean, it's the same thing. It's like we provide a free radio show and we have to sell advertising to be able to pay for the radio show.
Right.
Right? And it's the same thing with, you know, all the newsletters I get that eventually once they have a big enough audience, they can put advertising on there. I mean, because the other options are a membership. Right. And so ultimately, like all of these social media platforms, if you're not going to be able to pay, if you're not paying to use them, they are using your information or your eyeballs to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have, and you can tell, I would say, it's maybe not as bad as Instagram feels as far as how many ads you get, but, like, there's a fair amount of ads now. And it's really interesting because you can just tell because one of the things with TikTok, as we've talked about, is, like, how quickly trends happen and things, people are kind of doing the same things, using the same music. And because all these corporations that are trying to advertise on TikTok obviously have a chain of command and like a decision-making process
sure.
that is not always the fastest. So then they find by the time some poor social media manager has gotten approval to do this idea that they have, it's like very late to the game and sometimes looks a little cringy.
Missed your moment.
I saw something the other day that it was organic content for a Gen Z advertising agency. So it was like their TikTok account, but the service they provide and the company that they are is, you know, trying to help companies talk to Gen Z. And like basically the sentiment of the video that I watched was POV, me trying to explain to one of our clients that no one is interested in your product. Gen Z would rather see it get run over by a car.
That was their messaging?
Kind of. I'm just like, how chaotic and like the very clean aesthetic and like aspirational stuff that sometimes is more attributed to millennial women is not the feeling of Gen Z, and they don't want to be marketed to and advertising. And so like trying, you know, how much money is involved in trying to get the right messaging towards young people. And so it's basically just an advertising agency that's like, we can help you do that because we are that. Anyways, I digress. So TikTok is trying, they have doubled down. Their lobbying arm has grown very large in DC, and they have this thing called Project Texas. And so they are going on the offensive in Washington, DC, and they have a stepped up effort to counter the calls to ban TikTok in the US. This is over its Chinese ownership. And so they're spending a ton of money trying to convince detractors that ByteDance doesn't take marching orders from China. And so they've spent over $1 billion between Project Texas, and part of that is lobbying in an effort to rebuild the app on US servers.
They're not going to do that.
What do you mean they're not going to do that?
Well, aren't we banning this from all government?
No, this is their... So Project Texas is TikTok's project to try to convince
them to let it back on.
Actually hasn't been banned yet.
Right.
And so so basically they've been spending all this money on federal lobbying, but like who they're partnering with, which I think is really interesting because I do not think of this company as... at one point it probably was, but right now I don't think of it as like the pinnacle of innovation and like nimble, agile, cutting edge technology. But their partner, and probably part of the reason why it's called Project Texas, is Oracle. The like massive CRM, like B2B behemoth systems company. and so yeah, so it's basically they're working with them to try to have like all of this different ways that like all of the servers being on the US, so all the people who are like all of the information that is on coming from US users is going to be stored here. There's like all of these people who are involved that are US based, and so they have partnered with Texas company Oracle, and Oracle is helping to host the user data and running the traffic through its cloud infrastructure. And they're also reviewing source code and all their like content moderation tools. And like, this is their big effort. So we'll see if it works. But it's also weird to think of like, if their last ditch effort is like have Oracle buy TikTok. Cause Oracle's like, do you know what Oracle is? Have you ever had to work inside an Oracle system?
No.
So like, do you know what Salesforce is?
No.
Radio person. So Salesforce.
I have had no other life, Kristen. I don't know anything outside
of radio. Salesforce is like cloud computing as far as, you know, salespeople and marketing, and like basically an entire company's like company information can live on this. But before there was Salesforce, which was all in the cloud, so then all you needed to do was have a login.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be on any computer, and as long as you logged into your, it's like Facebook, it's like all these things. But prior to that, it was systems that were on company grounds and had to be like implemented in like a very heavy-handed way, and that's what Oracle was. And I'm sure now they have more cloud systems, but like that was the older company that Salesforce like disrupted. And so it's really random to me that this is who TikTok chose to like work hand in hand in. But what do I know? Your eyes just glazed over a while ago.
You know, yeah. The only thing that I take away from this that gives me any joy at all is the thought of TikTok lobbyists having to make their presentations in 30 seconds or less while they're dancing in front of congressmen.
There you go.
I think that should be a requirement.
But it's also, it's not unique to TikTok, right? So both Meta and Amazon spend way more than TikTok has spent. So Meta spent over $19.15 million in lobbying in 2022. Amazon spent $21.38 million. And, you know, just a reminder that there is a lot of people in your lawmakers' ears at every turn trying to influence what they're going to do.
Can we not call it lobbying and just call it bribes? It's so much easier.
So much easier. All right. Well, we're going to go to top of the hour news. And when we come back, some immigration updates and a quiz. Do you think you could pass the oral 10-question citizen test? Jane and I are going to take it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs.
It can even be pressed into counterfeit. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.